Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
And now, a yak.
Yak?
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Hope you had a wonderful week.
I was wondering if you were going to get that out or not.
I was working on
it. You were kind of tripping on that.
Well, sometimes I do that.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
Yes.
Did you have a wonderful week?
No.
Why not?
I'm working.
Okay, fine, whatever. It's not like everybody works or something.
No, that's not the point. I have little killer petri dishes that are trying to kill me.
Yeah, I know.
Otherwise, it would be better, I suppose.
Probably.
No, I have a better idea for employment, so we're going to go there with that.
Okay, fine.
Let's get on with the show, shall we?
Okay. So we have some new Twitter followers.
Excellent.
So we have Phil May.
Uh-huh.
Judas Peters.
Mm-hmm.
James Paris. Rachel the Snow Queen. Anakin. And the Unknown Seaman.
Okay.
I don't know who that last one is, obviously.
It's unknown.
Yes. And no iTunes reviews.
That is all right.
That is so sad.
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 Okay.
I wanted more iTunes reviews.
All right.
But that's okay.
All right.
I'll live without them this week, but I better have some for next week.
Oh, okay. Or else.
Or else I'm going to do a show.
Oh, no.
Anyway, we have some news that we want to cover.
That's kind of what we're here for.
Yeah, usually.
Yeah.
So the first thing I wanted to cover is a new initiative here in Washington State. So those of you who don't know the rules about Washington State, public citizens can get legislation passed, sort of, by proposing an initiative, which requires a ballot, and not a ballot, but a petition, which has to be signed by a certain number of citizens.
It needs, a certain number of signatures.
Right, which is like 200-something thousand, I can't remember. There's a certain percentage of voting population that has to be done.
Right.
So, and this new one, because there's new ones every year, and sometimes I like them, sometimes I don't.
Uh-huh.
This one I particularly do not like.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
So, it is called I-1515.
Uh-huh.
And what it does is it removes the laws that protect transgender folks in Washington State.
So they're trying to pull a North Carolina.
Well, it's different. North Carolina currently does not have a transgender protection clause in their state.
Oh, okay.
So Charlotte wrote one. Yes, we've had it for guess how many years?
I'm assuming a long time.
10 years.
And all of a sudden, now they want to do away with it, right?
Because all of a sudden, now bathrooms are dangerous.
Yeah, it's...
But for 10 years...
Nobody worried about
it. No one cared. No one knew about it. You don't want to know why?
Do tell.
Because it wasn't an issue. It never became an issue. There has never been an incident in Washington State where a man dressed up as a woman went into the bathroom and did horrible things and then said, I have the right to be in here.
Right, because that's the big argument that they're all making right now with this case.
Right.
Yeah, with, the whole North Carolina thing and everything.
Not happening. The one time it did happen here was recently, and that was a setup. A guy literally walked into a women's locker room and said, I'm allowed to be here, which isn't the same thing.
Just as a guy
just
walking
a guy.
In?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he was...
No, that's not even close.
Yeah, he was being absurd.
Oh, okay. But yeah, that's not even close. But I'm getting so frustrated with all of this. I keep wanting the word fad keeps coming to me. Like, this is the new fad. This is the new thing that's going on right now.
Is.
It's this is the new, everybody's up in arms about. I mean, the bathroom, I'm sorry, it's not the issue. They're using that as an excuse.
Of course they are.
It truly, it's just an excuse.
I don't know. I'm just frustrated with the whole thing. I mean, Europe's had these rules for a long time. They don't have a big issue with it.
There's not an issue. That's why.
So this is just discrimination hiding behind.
That's all it is. It's just about segregating.
Yeah, it's a
That's
Trojan
it.
Horse.
Yes, of course it is. It's the same with the water fountains.
I think I said it last week. Yeah, it wasn't about water fountains in the 60s. It's not about bathrooms now.
No, it's not. And It's really, honestly, it's getting old. And you know.
And you know what I hope? I hope that when I go to a store, I see one of these jerks out there doing their petition for I-1515. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go into that store because it's probably going to be a Target, or especially a Target. Uh-huh. Right. I'm going to go into that store. And I'm going to buy a big old piece of poster paper and some markers.
Do you realize how Southern you are sounding to me right now? Just several of the words you're saying are like, what happened?
I've been listening to No Religion Required. I'm sorry.
All right. They're rubbing anyways, off on me. Anyways, finish what so you
I'm
were saying.
I'm going to get the poster paper and markers, and I'm going to write on it. Uh-huh. Something. I don't know what yet. But I'm going to stand there, and I'm going to protest these petitions. And I'm going to tell people what the petitions are really about.
I don't doubt that at all. And I don't doubt that you're going to wind up getting in a big confrontation as well.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Should I go get some mace?
Bear spray works better.
I have bear spray.
You can stand farther away. It's in our closet, as a matter of fact.
But I think I get in a lot of trouble hitting somebody with bear spray.
Hey, they're coming at you. What can you do?
That would not feel good on anybody. Sorry.
Well, then they shouldn't step.
Anyway, so that's what I'm going to do.
I think it's good. And like I said, it's getting so old. I mean,
I know.
Just let it go. Seriously.
You know who supports stuff like this?
Do tell.
Franklin Graham.
Well, there's a huge surprise.
And guess what?
What?
We're doing an anti-rally against Franklin Graham on June 29th.
That's right. And I will be getting to go to this one for a change.
Yay.
Like, because at first I wasn't going to, but now I will. So
yeah, June 29th, 11 a.m.
At the Capitol?
At the Capitol.
Yeah.
Just east of the Capitol, literally. Oh. We're on the East Lawn.
Oh, okay.
They wouldn't let me on the main campus because Franklin Graham is there.
It's going to be a long day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you have speakers, right?
I have speakers. I have Sam Mulvey.
Uh-huh.
I have Travis Simmons. Uh-huh. Lilith Starr. I have Damien Athope.
Oh, so you have quite a few.
And I got one more.
Okay.
I have Bob Seidenstecker.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I just talked to him recently, and he decided to come on as a regular speaker.
That is very cool. It would be definitely very productive,
I think.
Guess
who the MC is going to be?
You?
Me, oddly enough.
That'll be fun.
That'll be fun, yes, because I speak so well.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Keep me up behind a computer screen, I'm good.
Uh-huh.
Don't put me in front of people. We'll find out how good that's going to be.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. I think there'll be media.
I certainly hope so.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to write them.
Oh, of course you are. Thanks. Of course you are.
And hopefully they'll interview you like they did in Clark County.
Oh, gosh. I hope they don't do that again. That was a huge shock.
Yeah, well, you did well. Everybody said so.
If you say so.
Anyway, I think we'll move
on. Yeah, I think we need to move on.
Speaking of state capitals.
Uh-huh.
I'm getting better at segues.
Oh, are you now?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
We're going to talk about atheist candidates for state office.
Okay.
Since we were talking about state capitals.
Makes sense.
Okay. There are two new candidates at state-level offices, four state-level offices that have popped onto the scene.
Uh-huh.
First, let's stay with Washington State.
Oh, okay.
And Jennifer Goulet, who we have met.
I was going to say, why does that ring a bell?
We went and did a original motto.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Okay.
She's running for the 9th Legislative District, Position 1. Like I said, we know her personally, right. And I highly endorse her for this position.
Absolutely.
She's an amazing activist.
Mm-hmm.
She knows what she's doing.
Right.
She's incredibly intelligent, very caring. I have a feeling she would do very, very well at the state legislature level.
No, absolutely.
And,
definitely.
And we agree with basically everything she says. She's for $15 minimum wage. She's for affordable college.
Uh-huh.
Universal health care.
Uh-huh.
Basically our platform.
Right.
And she's also the co-chair for the Secular Coalition for Washington and the president of Tri-City Freethinkers.
Right.
So, very amazing.
Yes, and I think it would be fantastic to start seeing more and more atheists in these positions.
Well, I'm glad to see more and more atheists running for these positions.
Well, exactly. Running for these positions, getting the positions would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be great.
And I think... You know, if we could see more and more in these positions, I really honestly think you would see a huge difference in the way things start going.
Right.
You
well, know? We would have visibility.
Well, besides just for the atheist movement alone, I just think in the way things are run, period.
Right.
I think you would see a large change in the way things are run.
I agree.
Because, I don't know, maybe I'm biased, but I think that they, you know, atheists tend to be more caring of others and of humanity and honesty and, you know, just things like that. Right. But anyways, I'm just ranting.
But I did say there were two.
Yes, please.
Second. And the other one is Steve Hill, who's running for California State Senate in District 21.
Oh, okay.
Steve is a comedian, former correctional officer, home appraiser, and a former sergeant in the Marine Corps.
He's a do-it-all kind of guy.
He's a do-it-all. Yeah, he is. He's amazing. Yeah, this is another person that I know personally.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, I met him at the Atheist Alliance of America conference.
Aren't you just everywhere?
Yeah, I was a sound guy, and he was a comedian. Oh, so, we had.
Oh, is that the one we took our daughter to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I didn't get to go to that one.
Yeah, I know. You were working, oddly yeah. enough.
Of course.
Yeah, and I highly endorse him for this position. In fact, he tried for this position last year as a write-in candidate. And,
oh, uh-huh.
And he got some votes.
Uh-huh.
Not a lot. Write-in candidates rarely get a lot.
Yeah.
But what's most interesting, I think, about Steve, uh-huh. besides the fact that he's basically the same on platform level as we are,
okay.
is that he is the first candidate in California who publicly affiliates with the Satanic Temple.
Oh, okay.
In fact, he helped organize it in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He says he's an atheist who fights for true religious freedom, saying this includes preserving the right to believe or disbelieve as one sees fit.
Right, exactly.
Which is really cool.
Right.
Now, even Lucian Greaves, the spokesperson for the Satanic Temple, mm-hmm. had great things to say about him. And I like this one the best. It's refreshing to have a candidate running for office who advocates for wholesome satanic values.
I like that.
I like that a lot.
That's funny.
I expect to see that on an ad against him.
Yeah, right.
So that's pretty cool. So two great candidates. Go check them out. Jennifer Goulet is Jennifer Goulet for Washington.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have Steve's.
Well, recommend, maybe I do. I'm going to say, then I recommend you put both of them
yeah,
in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll put them in the show notes. So, yeah. So that's awesome.
That's great. And hopefully they have some success with that. Yep. That would be awesome.
This is Matthew the Apostle. If you need a quick update on the black collar crime from around the world, tune in to In the Name of God, the podcast, where I'll run down the most obscure news stories of those proclaiming a faith in God. That's In the Name of God, the podcast, the religious news as reported by the Atheist Apostle. Available on iTunes, Stitcher, or directly from the Secular Outreach Network at secularoutreach.com.
I think with that, we'll move on to our next segment.
Let's do it.
Which happens to be the historical thing with Tom.
Oh, okay.
We still haven't named it yet, so.
I think you need to come up with a name, because that just sounds funny.
The historical thing with Tom. I like
yeah,
it.
What is that?
We'll just do that. No, we decided that we're going to let the fans choose a name for it.
Oh, okay.
So we talk about that a little bit in the segment.
Oh.
So there you go.
Yeah, my bad.
Tom is back with us again this week with his history segment, and we need a name for it, because neither one of us really feel like coming up with a good name. So listeners, yackers, submit your suggestions for Tom's history section.
Make it good.
Make it really cool.
Or we will reject you publicly.
Yeah.
Shame you.
Speaking of rejecting and shaming publicly, we have a voicemail.
Yes.
And it's directed at Tom this week.
All right.
So I'm going to go ahead and play that for everybody, and then I'm going to let Tom respond real quick.
Hi, folks. I love your show a lot. This is Dave from New Mexico, and I listened to your episode 51 with the new history segment. I thought it was going to be interesting with Tom Essel. He's had some interesting things to say before. But his comments on the Treaty of Tripoli bothered me a little bit. At a certain point, an early point in America's history, the United States Senate and some of America's founders said that America was not a Christian nation. It was not founded on a Christian nation, as a Christian nation. That does not change over time. I'm still going to be quoting the Treaty of Tripoli when people say, well, America was founded on Christianity, because it was not. And that statement at that time proves it. Anyway, thank you very much. I look forward to the next show. Bye.
It's kind of interesting that he mentions that the United States Senate and some of our founders explicitly state that the United States is not founded as a Christian nation. And of course, I don't believe in my segment I ever actually said that it was. But that, and I think the fact that he's kind of upset shows how much of a really emotionally charged political issue this is. Which is kind of what I mentioned, that this is a political issue, not a historical issue. Another important thing to remember, a couple important things to remember about the Treaty of Tripoli, real briefly before I get into this week's segment. Number one, the Treaty of Tripoli was not actually written by anybody in the United States Senate. It wasn't written by President John Adams. It was written by a guy whose last name was Barlow, and he was one of the commissioners of the diplomatic, what's the word I'm looking for, the diplomatic mission over to Tripoli. He's the one who actually wrote it. Senate simply signed off of it. is all that happened. Basically gave it rubber stamp. So that's that. Now, of course, people are free to quote the Treaty of Tripoli as they want, whatever. If you don't want to listen to people's suggestions, I mean, you don't have to, whatever. But just be aware that you're making a political argument, not a historical argument. The treaty, that phrase in the Treaty of Tripoli doesn't prove really anything. And that's just a fact. So that's my response to that.
Okay, cool. That sounds really good. So what do you have for us this week?
Okay, so this week, well, I picked on the secular people last week, so I'm going to pick on the religious people this week. And I asked on Facebook for a suggestion for what to do this week. And I asked somebody along the line, what's the most obnoxious argument you come across when it comes to that Christians make or theists make? Most obnoxious historical argument. And a friend of mine mentioned Christian abolitionists. Basically, you know, kind of claiming credit for abolishing slavery.
Yeah, saying, I've seen this quite a bit. So
yeah, so they were Christians that abolished slavery. Okay. And it just so happens I've actually written a research paper on this. So go figure, all my work's already done for me.
How convenient for you.
How convenient for me. So a couple things. First, yes, most of the abolitionists were Christians. But then again, so are most people in America.
I was just about to give my suggestion there.
Yeah. And so were most people back in the 1800s, both pro and anti-slavery. And there's also a much larger group of people who are kind of apathetic to slavery. So I'm going to read an excerpt from my paper on this, and it's talking about how the South used religion to justify slavery. You know, you'll hear that a lot, that they used the Bible to justify slavery. I'm sure you've come across that.
Right.
This is just kind of what that actually looked like, rather than just kind of a general statement. The most common justification provided by clergymen, it's important that, remember that, my notes are messed up. So the clergy in the South, when they were preaching to people in the South, they really provided justifications for their pro-slavery feelings. So the most common justification provided by clergymen was the idea that slavery was a practice ordained and sometimes guided by God. In 1850, Thornton Stringfellow, which if you Google him, there's pictures of Thornton Stringfellow, and he looks just as friendly as he sounds, who was pastor of Stevensburg Baptist Church, wrote in the Religious Herald that, quote, circumstances exist among the inhabitants of these United States, which make it proper that the scriptures should be carefully examined by Christians in reference to the institution of slavery, which exists in the several of the states, with the approbation of those who profess unlimited subjection to God's revealed will. Stringfellow's view was that scripture contained answers regarding the morality of slavery. He found that slavery was justified on four specific points. And this is a quote from him. First, the sanction of the Almighty in the patriarchal age. Second, that it was incorporated into the only national constitution which ever emanated from God, which is an interesting statement in itself. Of course, he's referring to the U.S. Constitution there.
Right.
Three, that its legality was recognized and its relative duties regulated by Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And fourth, that it is full of mercy.
Okay.
So that's Thornton Stringfellow right there. Friendly guy.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. In 1837, William Harper, who was a leading voice in the pro-slavery movement and a senator from South Carolina, expressed similar sentiments. In an essay read before the South Carolina Society for the Advancement of Learning, Harper pointed out that slavery abounded in the Bible and condemned anyone who argued against it, saying, quote, do they not blaspheme the providence of God, who denounce as wickedness and outrage that which is rendered indispensable to his purpose in the government of the world? So not only was slavery condoned by the inspired word of the creator of the universe, but anyone who disagreed was a blasphemer and potential enemy of God.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. In the early days of the Civil War, Pastor Stephen Elliott, another Southern pastor, argued that the Confederate cause, the defense of slavery, was in line with God's purpose. He condemned those who argued that slavery was a sin and that the Confederate States of America was a sinful nation. Another providential kind of argument there. In his sermon, titled Our Cause in Harmony with the Purposes of God in Christ Jesus, Elliott wrote, we can find the sin only in that presumptuous interference with the will and ways of God, which, beginning with an overmuch righteousness, coalesced rapidly with infidelity and ended in a bold defiance of the word of God and of the principles of his moral government. So again, those who argued for those who argued for emancipation were infidels who rejected God's word and government. And the irony that Eliot charges Confederate detractors with overmuch righteousness while claiming to know the will of God, that shouldn't be overlooked.
Interesting.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, but wasn't the Civil War just about states' rights? It wasn't about slavery, right?
The Civil War was fought about slavery.
Okay, if you say so.
the Civil War, the common link in the chain of events that led to the Civil War was slavery.
Right, I know.
Yeah.
I was pulling a devil's advocate there.
Okay. It gets kind of sort of complicated, but it's slavery.
Right, I know.
Yeah, okay. So to question slavery was not just to question Southern institutions. It was to question God himself. And this mindset not only provided the justification needed to reconcile slavery with concepts like freedom, but it also provided an air of unassailable righteousness to those defending the institution. So that's really what slavery or defending slavery with the Bible looked like in the 1850s, that they didn't necessarily point to specific passages so much as they pointed to the fact that, well, this is God's will and this is God's word and it's true. And because slavery is in there, therefore slavery is okay.
Right.
And that's my spiel for this. You have questions, comments, concerns?
No, I'm good. That sounded all amazing.
Yes. I got an A on that paper.
Well, I can see why.
Yeah. So, yeah. So the next time somebody tells you that abolitionists were Christians and that somehow this is demonstrates the moral superiority of Christianity, point out some of this stuff to them, that, okay, well, pro-slavery people did the exact same thing, and here's the arguments they used. You know, slavery was in the Bible. What's really interesting is the kind of religious nationalism there.
Right.
Where not only are you defying God's word, but you're also you're betraying your country by not following God's word.
Right. Now correct me if I'm wrong, but I seem to remember somewhere that God is written into the Confederate Constitution.
Yes, God is written in the Confederate Constitution. I don't have it in front of me, but right. it is in there. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I thought I read that somewhere. Interesting. Yeah.
Yep. And so there you have it. What I find really interesting is Thornton Stringfellow's claim that slavery is incorporated into the U.S. Constitution. I could be wrong because I don't have it right in front of me, but I don't believe slavery is actually mentioned in the U.S. Constitution.
Not that I'm aware of. I've read it a few times.
Yeah. So I don't know where he's getting that, but religious conservatives aren't usually known for...
Yeah.
For actually knowing what they're talking about. So,
that is true.
Like I said, I could be wrong about that one, but I don't believe it's actually in there.
Okay. Well, I'm sure someone will tell us.
I'm sure they will. And with that is my moment in history for y'all this week.
Sounds great. That was great. All right. Thanks a lot, Tom.
Thank you.
I am an old man. Most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
All right. That means it's time for the Potter Award.
Yes.
And we're going back to Missouri.
Okay.
And I bring you State Representative Mike Moon from District 157.
Okay.
And he has some very interesting bills.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's start with HB 2582, which would make it possible for the state of Missouri to ignore any federal laws or regulation that the Missouri General Assembly did not approve, specifically those by agencies. So like the EPA or the Department of Education, things like that.
Right.
Anything that's not Congress directly.
Right.
So, and it says this, no department or agency of this state shall enforce any rule or regulation promulgated by any federal agency within the borders of the state unless the enforcement of such regulation is approved by the General Assembly.
Now, this is the part where you translate. Yeah,
anyway, that means that if the General Assembly of Missouri, so the legislature of Missouri, does not approve of these rules, they are not, he is saying that they would not be enforceable in the state of Missouri.
If they don't agree to
it? If the General Assembly doesn't approve of it.
Okay.
So, no rule or regulation General Assembly disapproves shall be enforceable unless and until the rule or regulation is again referred to the General Assembly by a committee of administrative rules and then approved by the General Assembly. So basically they're saying, nah, we don't have to follow your rules.
Well, that's kind of what I got out of that. I'm like,
That's what he wanted introduced to the Constitution.
Oh, really? So he just wants to be able to say, yeah, if we don't like it, we don't got to go with it.
So, and this has a lot to do with, I don't know, gay marriage.
Ah, that's where we're going with this.
Yeah. And transgender rules.
Oh, God.
And
can't people just get over it?
Environmental protection.
Yeah.
And
education.
Second Amendment. So this guy's a serious Second Amendmenter. Serious.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, crazy. I don't even want to go into it.
Yeah.
Luckily, this bill never made it to the calendar.
Oh.
So it doesn't even stand a chance.
Well, I was going to say, is it going to come up later?
It might come up next year. He'll probably reintroduce it next year.
Yeah. They always like to slip them in when people aren't noticing.
Yeah, which is what I'm here for.
And they tend to do stuff like that. If they have it on the agenda, but it makes a lot of big stink in the news kind of thing, they'll say, okay, we're taking it away. And then later, after everybody kind of fizzles away, they sneak it back in. Because you and I have seen that time and time again. Have. Yeah.
That is true.
Yes.
And now we'll talk about another one.
Something else he's done?
Yeah. House Bill 2663.
Uh-huh.
Basically, this bill would allow any person who can carry a firearm to have the right to sue a property owner that does not allow firearms on their property.
Are you kidding me? I'm not done. Fine.
Jeez.
No, geez, just move on.
If that firearm carrier is injured as a result of not being allowed to carry firearms on the premises.
Okay, I still stick with my statement. Are you kidding me?
Okay, but you were being
I don't care.
At the wrong point. You have to wait for the
don't
final
care,
point.
Don't care. That's still ridiculous both times, beginning and the end.
I agree. Hey, so this is the instance that could happen. Let's say you go into a 7-Eleven, right? And the 7-Eleven says no guns. You have to leave your gun in the car, right?
Yeah, I get it.
7-Eleven gets robbed. And you get shot. You are now allowed to sue the 7-Eleven for your injuries.
Like hell you are.
Because they didn't allow you to carry your protection.
That is such BS.
I agree.
Now, this didn't pass or
this
anything.
Didn't make calendar either.
That's such horseshit.
But this is the type of stuff that he puts out.
He just makes up this crap, doesn't he?
I think so.
Because that's what it sounds like. Whatever he can pretty much think of for himself, that's what he wants to go ahead and pass.
Yeah. I'm not done with him.
All right.
Remember last year with the Syrian refugee crisis?
Maybe.
So there were all the Syrian refugees coming into the country because they were running away from Syria.
Yeah.
Okay. So he was rather unhappy with that.
Oh, you don't say.
Yeah. So he was mad that the governor of Missouri wasn't saying no refugees.
Of course.
So he proposed some bills.
Of course he did.
And three of them.
All right.
The first would eliminate funding for public school districts, community-based organizations, and nonprofit agencies to teach English immigrants and refugees.
Wait.
So he would take away funding.
Right.
By repealing the current statutes that require non-discrimination in English education. So specifically, the statute says you can't discriminate on refugee status.
Right.
He wants that gone.
Of course he does.
Because he doesn't want refugees learning English, apparently.
No. It's because he's a prick.
Yeah, well, okay.
Anyways.
The second would block any state or local funding from being used to help resettle refugees by repealing the statute that regulates funding for refugees. So basically, he's not going to pay for it.
Right.
And the third would make resettlement agencies that assist refugees in Missouri liable for any damage resulting from crimes committed by those refugees by amending the statutes to say, it's pretty long.
Okay.
A person that provided sponsorship or resettlement services to a refugee being relocated to this state from a country recognized by the federal government as a state sponsor of terrorism who causes the death of a person or personal injury to a person or destroys, damages, or steals property, whether real, personal, or mixed, belonging to a person is entitled to recover damages in a civil action in a court of competent jurisdiction from the voluntary resettlement organization or the organization's directors individually.
So he just loves to discriminate.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if they're from another country coming here, he just automatically shuts up a wall real quick.
So what this does is his intent here was to keep people from resettling refugees here.
Right.
Because they could sue the person who resettled them here.
Guy's a winner.
Yeah, but we're not done with him.
Still.
Oh, no. This is what brought his attention to me.
Okay.
In a letter to the Department of Education of Missouri regarding the transgender rules set out by the Obama administration, which stated that schools wishing to receive federal funding should not discriminate against transgender youth, right?
Uh-huh.
In that letter, he said, At Dr. Paul R. McHugh's Distinguished Service Professor of Psychiatry and former psychiatrist-in-chief for Johns Hopkins Hospital, has a professional opinion that transgenderism is a mental disorder that merits treatment. And if we as a society are intent on instructing and training our children on the difference between right and wrong, we must stand against decrees from the federal government or any other entity forcing us to do otherwise. I urge you to reject the edict without regard for the potential financial cost.
Is he kidding?
Right, so let's start out with the first thing.
Okay, fine.
Transgenderism, not a word, and also not a mental disorder.
Well, duh.
It is, and according to the DSM-5, which is the diagnostic something, it's basically the psychiatrist manual.
Yeah, anyways.
It officially calls it gender dysphoria, which is not a disorder. Right. It just means that the things don't match up.
Right.
Which can be alleviated by gender reassignment.
Right.
Right. So what he's saying is absolutely untrue, for one.
Well, obviously.
Right. And it doesn't merit treatment. It merits a correction. So.
Right. It's, I don't understand this whole, it's a whole mental thing. It's the same thing. You know, when they have an issue with gay, they say that's a mental thing.
Well, here's the thing. Until, I think, the 70s, homosexuality was considered a mental disorder.
Uh-huh.
Same thing with transgender. It was considered a mental disorder until the latest edition.
Uh-huh.
So in the DSM-4, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
I can be corrected on that. But
probably will be.
Yeah. But now they're saying, and they even came out and said why we don't consider it a mental disorder.
Right.
They had an entire press release on it. But these people don't get that. They don't see that.
They don't want to hear it.
Right.
They don't, what it is.
Right.
And they have their little icky issues or something about it. I mean.
They have their religious issues about it.
Oh, okay. That's the icky part then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and secondly, on this issue, he's willing to forego millions in federal education money because he's against allowing transgender kids to use the bathroom they identify with.
He, like I said, he's a prick.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Which is why he wins the Potter Award this week.
Teenage kids have a hard enough time, period.
Yeah.
Regardless of how they see themselves. But to go ahead and start slapping things like that on top of them, even more so, is just absolutely absurd. And personally, I kind of, because I've heard stories like this before with, you know, the schools and everything having issues with this. I see it as a form of bullying. And unfortunately, it's even more sad because you have adults bullying kids.
Exactly.
Which there's so many messages in there that are so wrong on so many different levels.
Yeah, I mean.
And it's really sad.
I think we covered a story a few months ago about a principal that was basically bullying a transgender girl.
Kind of rings a bell. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, bullying alone is one thing, but then to have an authority figure, an adult.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Well, here's the thing. I think this transgender issue is going to be the death knell for the religious right. They're falling on their sword on this one.
Yeah, but they keep doing that, and they're like cockroaches. They're still
here.
Well,
here's the thing. They're getting less and less influence because they do stuff like this.
I see them getting more of a bad name, too.
Right.
I mean, I just, you know, which is why the religious is losing, you know, their stance, and they're feeling more and more threatened all the time because of just ridiculous things like this. And again, it keeps coming down to just, I lost my train of thought. It keeps coming down to just constantly wanting to segregate people for one reason or another, or discriminate against them for one reason or another, regardless of what that reason is. That's all they are. They seem to be about hate and shame versus accepting and love. So
I agree.
They're just making themselves have a bad name for themselves.
I know.
So again, I stick with the word religion is a bad word to me because of stupid things like this.
Yeah, I'm really frustrated with the religious right.
Yeah, and
this guy is like the epitome of the religious right.
Yeah, but what's sad is you hear things like this more and more and more.
Well, what's sad is these guys keep getting elected.
Well, that's even more sad, actually. That overrides everything. The fact that they keep getting elected.
Which is why I'm glad we have people like Jennifer and Steve running for office.
Yes, because we need...
Because that's where we need the secular people.
Right.
At state level. It'd be great to have them at national level, but we need them at the state and local levels.
Right, absolutely. Because you need legs before you can, you know, get tall.
Right.
So, absolutely.
And with that, that's all the yakking I got for you.
I think we'll see them again next week.
Yep, next week.
We always like to hear your feedback, so leave us a voicemail at 704-802-YAK or an email at podcast@secularyakking.com.
More input.
All comments are welcome. We like to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly. You also can find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Google+.
If you like our show, head over to your podcast directory of choice and leave us a 5-star review.
And we'll be back next week with more yakking to please your eardrums.
Secular Yakking is a proud member of the Secular Outreach Network. SUN is a group of skeptical, secular, and humanist content creators collaborating with the goal of creating high-quality entertainment, and just maybe, to do some good along the way. Find out more about the SUN and the other shows that make up the network at secularoutreach.com.